It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. So we get the Chargers coming off a 5-12 year. I repeat, because the last time we played them, we put 63 on their ass. 63 on their ass. Do you know anybody on God's green earth? Do you know anybody who said, I'm going to the window and bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl? I don't. I know a lot of people. If you combined all the Charger fans in Southern California, you can fit them in my pool.
JT the Brick.
Do you hear this crap? They're saying, oh, the Raiders have this. They don't have anything. But, oh, but the Chargers do. And it's the same jerks who say, I love the Chargers roster. Every year. You idiot. You know nothing about the Raiders. The Chargers, America's new bandwagon, had 5 wins last year. Lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. I'm fighting off the Charger fans who think they're going to the Super Bowl.
And now,
63 on their ass.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, it's hour number 2, Monday, July 8th, as we kick off our summer series, the Raiders' greatest games of all time. We plan on doing this for a couple of weeks. Appreciate your participation in this. Everyone who's on our YouTube page, we talk about this during the breaks. We come back. I get ideas. People leave comments in the chat. You can go to JT the Brick YT. Please subscribe and share and get the interaction that you like in the Raider Nation. We appreciate that. If you want to call in, 702-365-9200. For Raider fans, this is a national show. We are on nationally. I could not do this show in Vegas. Couldn't do it. Has to be national. Raiders in Vegas. We need a national participation audience, and we got it because of the Raiders mobile app. So if you're on that mobile app and you're listening in Fort Lauderdale or Fresno, Detroit, London, wherever you are, looking forward to hearing you as we recap some of the greatest Raider games of all time. We started off with Bo Jackson on Monday Night Football, November 30th, 1987. 3 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, 1 in the air. Bo for 221, one of the greatest performances of all time. Monday Night Football, I think it's a Mount Rushmore moment, individual moment in the history of Monday Night Football. National television and what it did to continue to make the Raiders the team of the decades, which was a part of the Raiders' branding from the 70s, 80s, into the 90s, the team of the decades. And that was because of performances like Bo Jackson. If you missed part of the first hour, it'll all be up at lvsportsnetwork.com. You can go back, and we'll chronicle it here via podcast. And if there's a moment about Bo Jackson that you remember, what I'm trying to do here, it takes work. This is me killing a week or two or three talking about games. We want to hear people talking about what I'm talking about. What impact did Bo Jackson have on your life as a Raider fan? That's simple. If you didn't watch that Monday night game, I can't get a comment from you if you didn't watch it. But if Bo Jackson had an impact on your life as a fan, I cannot tell you how many Bo Jackson jerseys I see in Vegas all the time. They still sell, and they're on the rack, and they're coming off the rack every 10 minutes at the Raider Image. So let's hear from some Bo Jackson fans, because this is important to Bo. Maybe he's not listening here, but it keeps the legacy of Bo Jackson alive with this team. As I mentioned earlier, we have extreme heat out here. Extreme. So please be responsible with the heat, with your pets, staying hydrated, yourself, everybody else out there. Hydration is key here. And don't make a mistake this time of year. It happens too much. You turn on the news, someone makes a mistake in the heat with a child or a pet, and we know what happens there. Before I get to our next game, Danny Hurley, a 6-year, $50 million contract extension for UConn. That's less money than he would have got from the Lakers, but it's a much more cushy job. And this is not a cushy guy. He works. He works. And he wants to stay there. I think his wife wanted to stay back east. His family is all in and around Jersey. He's close to home in UConn. So that's okay. That's all right with him, as he's going to get an opportunity to continue and go for a three-peat. And to go for that three-peat, I think, is going to be really important for him as a legacy play. It's going to be tough to say that he's not in the same category as Bobby Knight and some of the other great coaches that I never thought Danny Hurley would become Bobby Knight, but you never know. When you look at this guy and how he's able to win and what's happening there. I wanted to mention the sad story over the holiday weekend. Kyrie Jackson, the Vikings rookie, was among 3 killed in a car crash. This was a horrible story whenever something like this happens. He's a Vikings rookie cornerback. Kyrie Jackson and 2 former college football players were killed in a car crash in Maryland. He died after a 3-car crash that occurred at 3:15 in the morning. late Friday night into Saturday in Prince George's County. According to police, the individual that hit him, and it's being investigated now, but there were two other football players in that car, 23 and 24-year-olds, who played at Florida State and Penn State. Police said that Hazel was driving a Dodge Charger with Jackson in the passenger seat when the car was struck by another car, changed lanes at a high speed. The Charger left the road and struck multiple tree stumps. According to police, two of the individuals, Jackson and Hazel, were pronounced dead at the scene, while Litton was transported to the hospital before being pronounced dead at the hospital there. So this is really unfortunate. The Vikings put out a statement on this. And I don't know, it's under investigation, but this is crazy how this happened. Alabama football mourns the loss of former student-athlete Kyrie Jackson, as their thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends. Tough to see that around the 4th of July or any time, but especially over the holidays when something like that happens in the middle of the night. Really, really difficult to see. Other NFL stories, camps are going to open here in a couple of weeks all over the country. There's going to be five teams in Southern California, obviously trying to beat the heat. We'll be in Costa Mesa, and we'll tell you more about that coming up here. A lot of fans are asking me what's happening, this or that. That's above me. I don't know what. I know there's going to be days where Southern California fans are going to get invited to come in. I know there's going to be activations out in Vegas and opportunities for fans to be involved with the Raiders the entire offseason here. And, you know, once we get through what's going to happen here coming up, the next big topic's going to be what's going to happen at the quarterback position for the Raiders with Aiden O'Connell going up against Gardner Minshew. Dak Prescott is in the news. He's no longer in a walking boot. He was confirmed in a walking boot. He recently suffered a foot sprain that required the boot. He is out of it now, according to ESPN's Todd Archer. Why is this a big story? Because it looks like the Raiders could be a team. I don't know if they are interested. That's for Tom Telesco. But they have their quarterbacks that they're going with now. But there's going to be a quarterback concern for the Raiders if one of these two guys don't step up this year. If one of these two guys don't play really well and Dak Prescott's a free agent, you better believe the Raiders will look at him. Most Cowboy fans believe that they'll get a deal done. They'll try to get a deal done with him before the start of camp, but I don't know. I wouldn't do it. He's entering the final year of his contract that's going to pay him about $29 million for this upcoming season, and the best quarterbacks are making $50 million, $55 million. So if you're Dak and you're the captain of America's team, you're going to want a little bit more money than that. All right, 702-365-9200. Man, it feels like I'm pulling teeth to get some George Blanda interaction going before we start. But I'm sure we're going to hear from some fans who remember those games back in the day. It's hour number two as we get to what we're doing all summer long here on Raider Nation Radio. Raider
Nation! We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
Fires for Bolitnikoff. He is going to get inside the bar. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Honorable mention.
All right, so we come back to some of the honorable mentions that we have here. And when we put this together, this was an interesting moment in our preparation for this summer project that we were doing. We wanted to include the miracle of George Blanda, but it wasn't one game. It was five games in 1970, where one of the most important figures in pro football history, George Blanda, who became a Raider icon after being a Chicago Bear, a Baltimore Colt, back to the Bears, the Oilers, played for the Oilers from 1960 through 66, and then came to the Raiders in 67 through 1975. Think of that career, which started with the Bears in 1949 and ended with the Raiders in 1975. What a career. And he was drafted in 1949 in the 12th round, the 119th pick overall, out of Youngwood, Pennsylvania. And just fascinating to see what he was able to do. He went to Kentucky for college and then started his pro career, which was the longest one out there. And remember, Tom Brady played a long time too. But the standard is set by George Blanda. He was a three-time AFL champion. 60, 61, and 67. The AFL MVP in 1961. The Man of the Year in 1974. And just to see what he was able to do in individual records, four-time All-Star. He led the AFL twice in passing yards. The touchdown leader in 61. But its records are the most important. Most seasons played, 26. 26 seasons for George Blanda. Most career extra points, 943. Most passing touchdowns in a game, 7. Man, this is a special player. Special player, especially with the field goals and the importance. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we're going to start with this series. If you're a fan of George Blanda and remember the games, 702-365-9200, or come on in via Twitter, X, at JT the Brick, and comment on this. The miracle of George Blanda in 1970 will live for eternity in the history of the Raiders, as well as all of professional football. That year, the 43-year-old Blanda's last-minute heroics as quarterback and place kicker resulted in 4 victories and a last-second tie for the silver and black. We begin against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and what a memory this is. What a game for the silver and black. October 25th, 1970, the Steeler game, Blanda came off the bench to throw 3 touchdown passes to Raymond Chester, who was 14 months old when Blanda played in his first pro game. He also kicked a field goal to lead the Raiders to that 31-14 upset win of the Steelers. Here's the NFL Films recap.
LaMonica streaked one to Raymond Chester, and then 43-year-old George Blanda came off the bench and hurled thunderbolts to Chester. One was called back, one was good, and one was superb. A veteran and a rookie had wreaked havoc, begun a phenomenon, and Oakland was battling toward first place in the West.
John Facenda via NFL Film. So that makes me feel good because of Raymond Chester, and we're going to be able to hopefully try to get some of these legends on the show and mix and match them into the show when we talk about games. I'm saving Raymond Chester for another game as we get into the top 10, which you can probably figure out. This game, this group of 5 games, is not in the top 10 games of all time, but we wanted to bunch it in to make sure we gave this a honorable mention. And then we go to the Kansas City game after that, which was incredible, because if you look at what happened after that, which was amazing, the Pittsburgh game, which most people remember, and how important that was in the upset victory. The next week in Kansas City, he kicked a 48-yard field goal with 3 seconds remaining to tie the Chiefs at 17. Oakland in the brawl against Kansas City.
Here's the bootleg now by Dawson, running to the right himself. He's got a first down. He's down to the 35, and he's brought down at the 28-yard line. Here's a flag, and here's Ben Davidson being jumped on by one of the Chiefs. 2 more Chiefs come in. There's a big pileup. Davidson and Taylor are going at it. There are at least 8 Chiefs. Here come all the Raiders. Holy Toledo. It's a free-for-all. It's all along this near sideline here. Stram is out. He's getting Lenny Dawson out of there. He doesn't want Dawson to get killed.
That's incredible. Bill King on the call there. Tremendous sound that Bobby was able to get with the help of the Raiders on that. So the brawl and then the game-tying field goal. This was on November 1st, 1970.
Double wing now. Back is LaMonica to pass. Hey, look. He throws one for Biletnikoff. A fine catch at the 15. He's creamed at the 46-yard line of the Chiefs. And with 8 seconds, George Blanda is handed the incredibly difficult job of about a 47 or 48-yard field goal. And here's your ball game. 17-14, Kansas City. LaMonica will spot at the 48. It's snapped, it's down, it's kicked, it is good! It's good! It is good! George Blanda has kicked a 48-yard field goal, and the scoreboard shows the Kansas City Chiefs 17 and the Oakland Raiders 17.
Bill King on the call, that was the tie game. 47 yards, are you kidding me? Back in the day, to kick a field goal like that straight on, you could tell Bill King, as he was setting up that call, knew how difficult that would be. What a finish for the Raiders at that time, a tie. The Raiders have a tie in a very important season in 1960 there, which was incredible. So I'm just amazed to see that George Blanda, these are the first two games in the miracle of 1970, 702-365-9200. I don't expect you to be at those games, but what impact did those games have on you and the legacy of George Blanda as we continue on? The following Sunday, Blanda came off the bench to throw a touchdown pass to tie. And if you look at what happened in that game, he tied Cleveland at 20, then kicked a game-winning 52-yard field goal with 3 seconds remaining to earn the Raiders a 23-20 victory. Blanda to Wells in the Cleveland game makes it 20-all.
Biletnikoff lines up as a tight end on the right. Blanda back to pass. Blanda looks. Blanda throws. Complete touchdown, Wells. Raiders score. Blanda to Wells, who dived, coming back for the pass, caught it a yard in the end zone from 14 yards out. Now the conversion. Snap, spotted, kicked. Good. It's tied. It's 20-20.
20-20 at that time with the great Bill King sound, but then the interception, which was a critical play in this game, setting up the Raiders and an opportunity to win.
44 seconds to go. Nelson under center, split backs behind him. Back he goes to pass, gets the blocking, all the time in the world. He drills one, intercepted by McLaurin. McLaurin at the 50. McLaurin races wide to the right, knocked down by Kelly. The Raiders have 2 timeouts left. They have the football with 34 seconds to go.
What an interception that set up George Blanda in the miracle of George Blanda. And these games, the 5 games of 1970, we move to the Cleveland game where Blanda has an opportunity to win it.
They're going to try a field goal from 53 yards. The odds against this must be about 76 million to a half. Well, George did it from 48 last week with maybe 3 feet to spare. Left hash mark. Stabler will hold. Stabler not as experienced holding as LaMonica. Here it is. Snapped. Spotted. It's kicked. That's got a chance. That is good. It's good. Holy Toledo. The place has gone wild. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The Oakland Raiders, 23. The Cleveland Browns, 20. George Blanda has just been elected King of the World.
What a great soundbite. King of the World for the great. Wow, Bill King on the call there. Here's Blanda post-game after the biggest kick of his entire career.
Well, this last week I was playing, so I really didn't have too much time to think about it, although we knew we were trying to get into field goal range, and at the time I really didn't care. As long as we got around the 50 somewhere, I knew we had a shot at it. And as far as what goes through your mind, you don't have time to think about it. The only thing that I try to do is to concentrate on the spot on the ground where the holder is going to put it, and watch the ball into his hands as the center snaps it, and go through my mind mentally that I'm going to take the right steps and say to myself to follow through and just actually concentrate on the kick itself and nothing else. I don't have time to think about the consequences or what the fans will think or what the outcome might mean to the ball club. We always feel that every time we line up, we're going to make it, and we've always been optimistic. And if you don't feel that way, I don't think you have a chance.
Incredible. I mean, Janikowski was a hell of a kicker for the Raiders. There's been great kickers back then. Adam Vinatieri recently, right? You look at all the kickers that have kicked in this league. You tell me at a time where a gentleman can kick a 48-yard field goal, okay, a 48-yard field goal, and then come back and hit a game-winning 52-yard field goal in that era with those shoes, those conditions, what he had to deal with at that time. You heard Stabler as the holder over LaMonica there. A great moment in Raider history. There's still more to that, but let's get Raider 66 up here in Vegas. If you call in, we're going to get everybody up as we're looking back at Raider history. Go ahead.
Hey, JT, that stretch of 5 games is just such a great memory for me. It was remarkable. And that is really one of the things that cemented me as a Raider fan, all of those fantastic finishes. And George Blanda, I mean, that guy was incredible. And in that game, in that Cleveland game, when they got close and he threw the touchdown pass to Warren Wells, before that, when they got down there close, they had a timeout. And Blanda goes over the sideline talking to Madden. And Madden's, you know, hands are waving wildly like he always did. He goes, okay, let's try this. And George goes, John, he goes, why don't you just let me throw three passes to Warren? I guarantee you we'll get a touchdown. He goes, well, if you guarantee it, go do it. So George goes out there, first down, incomplete to Wells, second down, touchdown, and, you know, the rest is history. And it was just fantastic. But talking about Bo earlier, that Monday night game against Seattle, the Raiders were actually coming in to that game on a two-game Monday night football losing streak, which was almost impossible for them. They were the kings of Monday night. Going into that game, they were like 24-4-1. And that Bo Jackson game, you're absolutely right earlier when you said people that saw that that weren't Raider fans became Raider fans. Bo Jackson was a rock star. And if you think about it, he was like a – the best way to describe it is he was like a tornado and the NFL was a mobile home park. Mm. He just destroyed that entire league. And it comes on the heels of a couple of years earlier, the USFL was disbanding or about to disband, and Al Davis was looking at taking a guy by the name of Herschel Walker in the draft. And he waited till the middle rounds, and he waited one round too long. The Cowboys snuck in front and took him. He vowed that would never happen again. So then in 87, when Bo Jackson had snubbed Tampa Bay in 86 as the number one overall pick and decided to play baseball, Al Davis decided to take a shot at a seventh-round draft pick and take Bo Jackson. Then he met with him and said, look, Bo, you can play baseball the entire season. I just use you part-time, and you come and play football when you're done with baseball. And that's exactly what he did. He was a part-time player. If he'd have dedicated full-time to football, I know he'd be in the Hall of Fame. The guy is just such a raw talent. But, yeah, that those things, like the Monday night series, the George Blanda five-game miracles, that is what made us old-school Raiders fans just die-hard Raider fans, is those miracles and those complete finishes. You're going to continue on, I guess, with the Blanda series.
Yep.
And that game against Kansas City, I think it's the next game against Kansas City, where they won, that is the game where Ben Davidson did the somersault, helmet somersault on Lynn Dawson, and that prompted a rule change because he tackled Dawson after he got the first down, which basically was the end of the game. But he did the somersault on Dawson. They threw a flag. And Otis Taylor came up and gave him a forearm. They threw another flag. Well, they discussed it, and they were going to assess only the penalty against the Raiders. Dan Connors, the middle linebacker for the Raiders, heads-up guy, very smart guy, went up to the officials and said, look, what about the penalty on Taylor? If you don't assess that, I'm taking all my guys and we're walking off the stage here. We're walking off the field. How's that going to look on TV? The officials huddled up and they go, you know what? He's right. Double penalty. They canceled each other out. Mm-hmm. They had to do the third down over again. The Chiefs did not get the first down, and that gave the Raiders the ball back and a chance to win the game. That's the story behind the story. Thanks for the time, JT.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Yeah, Raiders 66, we need you on this. Those are good calls. That's what we're trying to do. There's not many people that were around or watched the game who know the history. I'm aware of that. But we're trying to get these honorable mentions in so everybody can get involved with it. Blanda was not done. After the Cleveland game, we'll get to the next two, the miracle at Denver and versus San Diego. We're looking back at the greatest Raider games of all time. We're on to the miracle of George Blanda. Five games in 1970. Blanda personally won four straight games and one tie that year for the Raiders. As we are brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up for excellence like the stretch of George Blanda with a Remy Martin cocktail. Remy Martin, proud partner of our show and a big part as we count down to the top Raider games of all time.
They're going to try a field goal from 53 yards. The odds against this must be about 76 million to a half. Well, George did it from 48 last week with maybe 3 feet to spare. Left hash mark. Stabler will hold. Stabler not as experienced holding as LaMonica. Here it is. Snapped. Spotted. It's kicked. That's got a chance. That is good. It's good. Holy Toledo. The place has gone wild. I don't believe it. The Oakland Raiders, 23. The Cleveland Browns, 20. George Blanda has just been elected king of the world.
All right, so we're in the middle of our top games in Raider history, and this one comes in as an honorable mention. Crank up the Stones. This is pretty good. So I'm in Vancouver Friday night. So my wife and I met at a Stones concert. So we've been to Liverpool, seen him in London, Hyde Park. We've seen him in Chicago. I've seen him in New York. So I think this was my 19th show, 19 in Vancouver, and it was fantastic. A lot of good people up there, a lot of listeners to the show that I got a chance to hang out with up there. So really happy that I had a good time there, and Mick and Keefe sounded great. I felt, Bobby, like it was a... Let me just try to frame this right, because the Stones have a lot to do with the arc of my life. I never would have met my wife and had my kids if it wasn't. I felt like Keith Richards was saying goodbye to everyone. Not like this is the end, but he was saying goodbye to Vancouver. Because when you get into your 80s, you start saying goodbye. Like, there are places that you go to that you know you're never going to go to again. Remote spots, right? Vancouver's not remote, but kind of is for a bunch of guys from London who are probably not going to go back there again, because there'll be a European tour and then another American tour. So it's, you got to understand the moment that my wife and I were there, that Keith Richards was talking at the end, and I looked at her and I go, are you getting that vibe? She's like, yeah. He's saying goodbye. It felt like he was saying goodbye. It was a surreal moment there, but wow. Pretty heavy, man, to be out there in Vancouver and to roll around there. I wish it was an NFL city. That would have been a really good, you know, talk about expansion to Munich, London. They put a football team in Vancouver that can compete against Seattle and us out west. If there was a Western team up in Vancouver, I'd be all over that. That'd be a really good gig, a good job for people in the business to want to be a part of that. I mean, Vancouver was really cool. So I enjoyed that trip. I definitely will go back again. I will not go back in the winter. So when I got back, oh, and then another thing too, my wife is so cool. She said, stop complaining, because our flight was delayed 3 hours. We got to the airport, and our flight was at 8:45 p.m. So we got to the airport. It was supposed to be the largest travel day of the year. So we got in a cab at like 6:30. We were there about 6:45. It took maybe 18 minutes to get to the airport. And we get in there, and all of a sudden, they start delaying the flight. And I'm sitting there going, here we go. Because I'm an expert on this. I've been traveling a lot over the years. And once they tell you, so the first thing I do is I look to where the plane is. And the plane was in Vegas coming to Vancouver. And I just did the flight, and it's close to 3 hours. So if it was still on the ground in Vegas, and I'm looking, so I go up to the lady, and my wife goes, oh, sit down. And here I go, like, I have to get up. I go, excuse me, ma'am, this plane hasn't left Vegas yet. She goes, we're aware of that, sir. We're trying to get you a new plane, because Air Canada's hub is Vancouver. So we're pretty confident they can move a plane around. They make us move gates, and we're assuming that that plane, that new plane, is going to get us out around 9:45, an hour delay. Well, she came on and said, nope. Plane's not ready to go. We're going to wait for the one from Vegas. And we had to sit in the airport and wait 3 hours for that to come. Got home at 3:30 in the morning. Got home by 4. Yeah, it was at least there was air conditioning on the plane. But as I said, I don't know how people travel for a living anymore. Like the people, the men and women who spurred this economy by going to work on airplanes. Luck, but as long as the plane takes off and lands, you're lucky. Right? That's a good thing, but that was part of the trip on the back end. Back to George Blanda. So we gave you the Pittsburgh game, then the tying game against Kansas City, and then the Cleveland game. Now we roll on to the Denver Broncos to see what happened in this game, because it's just incredible on the run that he was on. The magic continued the following week when Blanda threw a touchdown pass late in the game to our guy, Fred Biletnikoff, to defeat Denver 24-19, as we look back at the miracle run of the great George Blanda.
The Broncos rallied to lead 19-17 so late in the game that Denver fans celebrated victory. But no one should celebrate victory over the Raiders until they hear a gunshot. The phenomenon is pride and poise. It's Blanda zeroed in on Wells. The phenomenon is class and courage. And it's Blanda hitting Biletnikoff for a score. The phenomenon is discipline and desire. And it's number 20, Jimmy Warren, shutting off Denver's last hope with his second interception of the day. The phenomenon is an Oakland Raider victory under any pressure.
That's great. John Facenda loved Raider highlights, man. It was just something about the Raiders, not only the great wins, but the ability to just come in and do great things and have all the rhymes and all the names and all the great games. Just fantastic. So this is part of the miracle of George Blanda, the five games in 1970. Bobby, do we stay in Denver here, or are we going to the San Diego game? San Diego. Now we go to the final game on this run, November 22nd versus the San Diego Chargers, the LaMonica run on first down late in the game.
17-17, they're hanging from the cliff again. The biggest play of the day ahead right now is how to get 4 yards or better here. What happens after that will take care of itself. Darrell drops back to pass. Here comes a big one. He looks once. He's going to run. He's being pursued by DeLong. He's at the 40. He's pushed down at the 45. 30-yard line. He's out of the first down.
That's a great run by Darrell LaMonica there, one of the great Raider quarterbacks of all time. And then to round out these five games in 1970, Blanda once again the game-winning field goal.
And here comes George Blanda onto the field. The 16-yard line, LaMonica will spot it. He waits. It's snapped. It's spotted. It's kicked. It is. Good! George Blanda has kicked the Oakland Raiders into a three-point lead. 4 seconds remain to go. And this man may tie the San Francisco Bay Area up into a knot from which it may never extricate itself again.
That's incredible. Bill King on all the calls there, and that was the end of the five games that we put in as an honorable mention. I thought that was a great idea by the group of people that helped put this together with me. You got to include this. You couldn't take one game, but you could have took one game as an honorable mention, right? These walk-off field goals, these game winners, were not only important games for the Raiders, but great games for the Raiders. For his supreme efforts and accomplishments, George Blanda was honored as the AFC Player of the Year in 1970, and the Raiders reached the AFC Championship game. That, ladies and gentlemen, is an honorable mention for us on the greatest games. George Blanda, five games in 1970, titled The Miracle of George Blanda. Just incredible to see this run that he was on, obviously a Pro Football Hall of Famer. In 67, Blanda's first season with the Raiders, you know, really helped him defining himself as a two-position guy. He led the AFL in scoring with 116 points and helped the Raiders in some big victories, as you just heard here. Just big victories overall. The Raiders went on to compete in Super Bowl II but lost that game to the Green Bay Packers. And then 1970, we just gave you the miracle. Blanda was released during the exhibition season but bounced back to establish his 21st professional season. During that season, at the age of 43, that five-game run known as the miracle. Blanda threw for 3 touchdowns in relief of an injured Darrell LaMonica, and with those game-winning kicks, he proved that he could play quarterback at the highest level for the Raiders and become one of the clutch kickers of all time. That touchdown to Biletnikoff with 2:28 left in the game to defeat the Broncos. And then, as you just heard, the 16-yard field goal seconds left to beat the Chargers. In that AFC title game against the Baltimore Colts, Blanda again came in for the injured Darrell LaMonica with 17 of 32 for 217 yards and 2 touchdowns, also kicking a 48-yard field goal and 2 extra points, kept the Raiders in the game until the final quarter when he was intercepted twice. At the age of 43, he became the oldest quarterback ever to play in a championship game. It was one of the few remaining straight-ahead kickers in the NFL. He won the Burt Bell Award for those achievements. And Lamar Hunt said, why? This George Blanda is good as his father. He used to play for Houston. Although he never again played a major role at quarterback, Blanda served as the Raiders kicker for 5 more seasons and was named the AP Male Athlete of the Year, being the first ever professional football player to earn that award. What a run. Blanda played his last game in Pittsburgh at Three Rivers Stadium on January 4th, 1976, at the age of 48 years old. In the 1985 AFC Championship game, in which he kicked a 41-yard field goal, made 1 extra point as the Raiders lost to the Steelers 16-10. He was released during training camp of August of 76, succeeded by another kicker, Fred Steinfort, but pulled for the team as the Raiders went on to win the NFL title that season in Super Bowl 11. So if you think of that, Errol Mann came in and replaced Steinfort, but that was a George Blanda team, and he was retired. If you look at that run, wow. An AL MVP, George Blanda, makes our list as we get it going. So, Bobby, so far today, I think we knocked it out of the park. Thanks for the calls and your sound that you brought in as we're breaking down honorable mention games. We gave you two today and come back with two tomorrow. And then I think another day of one or two. We've got a lot of honorable mentions to get to, and then we get to 10. And we start rolling down the list, which will take us to training camp, which will be very interesting because as I look up here, there's stories about Joe Burrow today. Joe Burrow's upset. People forget when you're hurt. That's a headline today. The NFL has never, ever, ever, ever been this quiet. Now, unfortunately, there was the death of a Minnesota Viking rookie. Tragedy. But when it comes to, there's no, have you heard, when was the last time you heard about Aaron Rodgers? Nothing. Quiet, right? When was the last time you heard about Mahomes? Nothing. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, been quiet for about a week. Everything is quiet because all these players are on vacation. They're wrapping up their vacation. Good to see Max Crosby sitting courtside at the Aces game. And I just love the way the Aces are playing now. They are rolling. We got another MVP here coming up again with Asia Wilson, so that's going to be a big deal. She is going to win the MVP award, which is a great story. And if you got the kids out here, as we often talk about, take them to NBA Summer League. The weather is really hot. I wouldn't recommend dropping your kids off in the parking lot the way I used to, but I think that was in, when they were older and it was under 110. But now get them up there, get them up the stairs, get them in the air conditioning, and give them about 6 or 7 hours of really good NBA basketball with these rookies who are out there. Yeah, they're talking about Joe Burrow. I've said this before. I'm going to go down in flames with this one, or I'm going to look like a hero. I think the Raiders roster is as good as Cincinnati's. People are going to say I'm nuts. Oh, you're a homer. Oh, my God, you worked for Mark Davis. True. Want the Raiders to win every game. I do work for Mark Davis. But I've studied that Cincinnati roster. It is not what you think. Wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, great. Devontae Adams. Tight end, who? Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer. I started to also think that a lot of people aren't giving the Raiders credit because of running back, Zamir White. Now, I'm not saying Zamir White's going to be Bo Jackson, who we chronicled today. But Zamir White can play football. He played at Georgia, and he's not getting any press. And most of the NFL media around this league doesn't even know who he is. How do you watch Georgia football and not know who Zamir White was? That'd be like watching Alabama football and not knowing who Josh Jacobs is. But, yeah, a lot of the media here is young. They're under the age of 30. They did not watch this. They don't know these players, period. They just don't know them at all. And that's one of the reasons why the Raiders, I feel, aren't getting the right amount of respect. All right, we knocked off two games. If you'd like to comment on Bo Jackson or George Blanda, get to me before the top of the hour. Q's coming up next. And then Bobby and I are going to decide the two games tomorrow as we continue on. Got a good three-hour show tonight on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Excited about that. And the rest of the week, backyard brick. Real quick in the backyard, in the pool, out of the pool. Hydration is key. Speaking of that, we're brought to you by Modelo. You know I love an ice-cold Modelo when I'm talking Raider football.
Third down and six at the nine. And Bo Jackson to the 20 and out in front. And only one man to beat. And Easley can't run him down. He had the angle, but there goes Bo. And nobody catches Bo. Touchdown.
He may not stop till Tacoma. He's gone.
Portland.
He just went by Spokane.
And there go the Raiders into fine. What a scene.
Come on back, guys.
Oh, he was flying.
Third and six. You'll see Dean Maraldi, the center, pull out of there. Steve Wright, the right tackle. But, I mean, it's over right there. Kenny Easley has the angle. And it's like little kids chasing a grown man.
It's the longest run in Raider history.
longest run at the time in Raider history. Al Michaels on the call. We featured Bo Jackson today and George Blanda. Who the hell else is doing that? That's pretty cool. Well, we dove into the history bank today as we kick off our summer series here on everything Raiders, the top 10 games of all time. We are not near the top 10. We just did the Blanda games today, the miracle of George Blanda, and the legendary game against Seattle, the Bo Jackson game. We got several more honorable mentions before we get to number 10. And then once we get to 10, every day we'll knock out 10, 9, 8, and we'll count down to training camp and doing that. We got to do something here, man. Got to do something here and keep it going. I just saw, you know, every time there's something that says a ranking with the Raiders, every time I see a ranking, I look around and say, where are they going to put the Raiders ranking and why am I clicking on this content? And when I open up my computer every day, I have, you know, a bunch of things that I have bookmarked. And I have a lot of it. Total Pro Sports, power rankings for all 32 teams. Pre-training camp rankings. And I always say to myself, don't open it. Why would you open it overall? Why are you doing this to yourself? And I do it because I just want to see what type of respect the Raiders are getting or not. That's it. So at number 32, they had the Carolina Panthers. I said, okay, that's fair. We get to play them for our home opener. Got to win that game, right? Have to win that game. And they're at 32, and I'm like, okay. At 31, they get the Denver Broncos. I'm like, oh, wait a second. We got two games against them. So I'm clicking on this clickbait, and the first two teams we play a combined three times. If this is accurate, the power rankings of all 32 teams heading into camp, we're 3-0, right? We only got to win 7 more games. There's, you know, look at this. 17 games, 3 are in, we're 3-0. They gave us Carolina and Denver. So I'm like, that's pretty cool. At number 30, New England. All right, New England's roster's pretty bad, and I get that. 29, the Titans. Wouldn't it be a good year to play the Titans this year? Just give us a bone. So they're at 29. And then I start looking at 27, the Commanders. Yeah, that makes sense. Jaden Daniels, rookie. You know, they got the number 2 pick overall. So I'm all right with that. And number 26, these are the worst, from worst to Arizona. Oh, why can't we play Arizona? The last time we played them, Hunter Renfrow fumbled, and Kyler Murray was running around your July 4th barbecue like a toddler who stole your keys. The 22nd play, remember that? I was there for that. About to go on the post-game show, the 22nd play. That'll never happen again. Number 25, they have the Vikings. Now, we play the Vikings our first game in the preseason. I'll be in Minnesota for that one. That's the 25th worst team in football. Okay. Now I start clicking, and I'm going, okay, where are they? Number 24, the Las Vegas Raiders. At number 24, really? I haven't even got to some garbage teams. And here they have the Raiders at 24. It says here, sophomore Aiden O'Connell and free agent signing Gardner Minshew are duking it out for the Raiders quarterback one job. The winner will have the fortune of throwing to Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, and prize rookie Brock Bowers. So the opening line is what is the talking points for the national media. You know how they say there's talking points for the president and the former president? The talking points against the Raiders are Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew. It leads every bleeping paragraph. That's what they do. But then they go and they write, the vibe seems a lot better in Sin City with Antonio Pierce getting the head gig after a stellar performance as interim coach. But if the Raiders are the surprise this year, they need above average quarterback play from O'Connell and Minshew. That's all they got. They got nothing. No Nate Hobbs. No Nate Hobbs. No Tyree Wilson looks different. Malcolm Kuntz. And then they have, I'm just going quick, at number 23, Seattle. 22, New Orleans. We play New Orleans. 21, the Chargers. Chargers won 5 games last year. The site has them better than the Raiders. Then the Colts, Tampa Bay. We play Tampa Bay. Bears, Rams. We play the Rams. They're 17. Jaguars, 16. So my point is, there's a lot of other teams. The Falcons, they have the Falcons as the 15th worst team in football. Well, we play them on Monday night. So my point is, there's good news and bad news. Steelers at 14, Dolphins at 13, we play them. Ladies and gentlemen, we play a lot of teams that aren't expected to do great things, okay? But they have them ranked higher than the Raiders. Now, Cleveland's at 8. They're really good. Cincinnati at 6. Baltimore at 5. Kansas City at 1. So we got games that are going to be tough, and no one's going to give the Raiders a chance. But there's a whole bunch of games in there where I think the Raiders roster is just as good, and they're just not getting the credit for it. Hey, thanks for kicking off our summer series, the top 10 Raider games of all time. Today we did the Bo Jackson game and the George Bland Miracles. Thought that was a lot of fun. Good information. Great job by Bobby pulling out the archives of the sound. And thanks to the Raiders for providing a lot of these sound bites for us. Q's coming up with a big show. I'll be on Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight, 4 to 7 p.m., Sirius XM 82. Have a great rest of the day, everybody, and stay hydrated and stay out of this mass heat exchange we're having.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.